are now 20 minutes to 2. All members are present. Senator Dyson, Cowdery, Thomas, and Senator Elton, myself. We only have one bill on the agenda today, and that is Senate Bill 245. And we do have a new CS before us, and we will go over that. It's not very much to go over. I don't know exactly how we need to do this. Should we listen to, there's a few people that have signed up to testify. I have one person online, and there are three people in the audience, I guess.
You want to adopt the committee substitute for discussion purposes?
We can do that. We can at least do that much, yes. Adopt it.
Yeah. I would like to make a motion to adopt the committee substitute for Bill 245, Version V, for discussion purposes.
Any objection? Here no objection. That bill now is before us. And I, before we begin, Don, if you'll just go down and tell us what's in the bill that's new. I'll give a rundown through the bill altogether.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Don Burrell, aide to Senator Betty Davis. Version V has a pretty simple change in it. On the very last page, page number 13, lines 8 through 11 have been added, and that is certificate of need study. It states the Department of Health and Social Services shall conduct with an entity that has no financial interest in health care services, shall contract with an entity that has no financial interest in health care services to conduct a comprehensive study of the effects of the certificate of need program in the state. The department shall provide a copy of the study to the legislature.
And just read about the title change.
Oh, my apologies. This study has also been added to the title. And on line 4, page 1, providing for a study of the certificate of need program has been added to the title.
And it's also on page 13, listed on 13, lines 6 through 11. And the new section that he just read off is in section in the bill. Do you have any comments on the CS before you at this time, before we begin the testimony? I don't know. They're not signed up. I'm sorry. Senator Dyson?
Yeah. I will have some questions, but with your leave, I'd rather defer those till after we've heard the testimony.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. We do have a Scott Bell online. Fairbanks, are you there?
Yes.
You may state your name for the record, your affiliation, and testify.
My name is Scott Bell, and I am a member of the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation. But I'm here to testify to keep the certificate of need. So again, Senate 245. Certificate of need regulations have been instrumental in allowing the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital to develop many of the wide-ranging health care services critical to our small and isolated town. With the protection of the CON reg, Fairbanks Memorial Hospital has used the profits from surgery and imaging services performed at the hospital to fund necessary but unprofitable services such as long-term care at Denali Center, mental health care services, an emergency room open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a cancer treatment center, a newly opened cardiac catheterization lab, a diabetes clinic, and we also use funding to recruit independent physicians to practice in the Fairbanks area. So I would urge you to keep the CON regulations in place. They are instrumental in helping us in Fairbanks provide a wide range of healthcare services, both profitable and unprofitable, that are essential to provide a good, strong, and robust healthcare system for our interior town. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions?
I just have.
Senator Thomas?
Mr. I forgot the first name.
Scott Bill.
Scott, do you not believe that a study that was done, that you could not convince people that that was, that the CON should be maintained? Is that why you have an objection to it, the study?
Well, I think that it all depends on who does the study, and we've seen several studies. I think that a study would support it, but I worry about having, would support keeping the CON, but I do worry about the other aspects of this bill and whether or not the results of the study would really be taken into account. It feels like the bill itself is just 1 foot, if not two, on the slippery slope away from a CON, even with a study involved.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bell, do you have a copy of 245 in your presence?
You know, they printed one out for me, but it looks like it might be version A and not version B.
And that is the wrong one. It is V as in Victor. Is that what's there?
No, because mine's only 10 pages long. I noticed you mentioned some additions to page 13.
Yes. You don't have the right one in front of you. The one that we're working from today is version V of it. And in this particular one, the add-on was the study to be done. The Department of Health and Social Services would contract to someone to conduct the study on CON.
Yeah, I think that's a good addition, but overall I get very concerned about the results of the study being taken into account. And I would hope that people would take it seriously, but you never know. So.
And also, I just say further that 245 does not eliminate the con, so altogether it doesn't do that.
Okay. Well, it's my understanding that it was, so I apologize if I'm...
And we will see that you get a copy of that if you would like.
I'll stop here on the way out and pick up one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Elton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Scott, on your way out, the pertinent pages for you to review, given your concern for the CON, are it's in section 5 that begins on the bottom of page 4. And the substantive change, the only change to the CON, is it allows, there is no cap on the amount of money that can be spent for a diagnostic imaging facility in a community with a population of 60,000 or more. And I think that's the only change to the CON. So you might look at the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, Senator Cowdery?
Yes. I'd just like, do you have a definition of a critical access hospital? What would your definition of that be?
Are you asking?
I was asking, is that Scott?
Are you still there, Mrs. Scott?
Yes. I'm sorry, the woman here, the administrative person, was asking me a question. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
I'm asking him.
He did not understand that, but I can get the answer to that. He was asking if you knew what the critical hospitals were, the
your
definition
opinion
was.
Of the definition of a critical access hospital.
I don't know.
That's fine, Mr. Scott. We can get the answer for him here. Thank you. Any other comments? Mark Marie Darling, are you in the audience?
I'm here, but I don't need to testify today. We've already
Okay. And there's a Paul Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to testify. I think the when I look at the proposals in here, especially the add-on, and looking at the study, I think it's a great starting point. I think it's something that we need to look at before we go and make changes to the legislation related to the CON. In my short tenure in the state in 2 years, I've seen the political aspects of the CON taking place, and a lot of maneuvering taking place, and I feel that the first thing that we need to do is really get a balance of where are we at in this process and really identify a good starting point. I was on the negotiated rulemaking committee, and I think that was a great attempt at evaluating the CON process. I think we came away with a consensus, not 100% consensus. You'll never get 100% consensus. But I think it was a great starting point on where the state needs to go. And I would highly recommend that we look at those recommendations and take them going forward before we go and make, we go and make changes, we need to look at this study. And then whatever the study says, I think we all need to collectively look at it. Make it a have a lot of input into it so we all can get on the same page and move forward. The language in this version B is already creating a carve out, the 50-50, and I think the exclusion of boroughs over 60,000. Basically, what we're doing is we're making a change to the CON process before we've had a chance to fully evaluate what needs to take place in that process. So what we're doing is we're creating an exception or a loophole, whatever you'd like to call it, but it's creating a carve-out that will just further erode the CON process before it is fully evaluated. And I think that's going to be, when you look at the cost of the state, I think in the long run it's going to be detrimental. I think there have been a number of studies out there. You look at Ohio, you look at Maine, you look at North Carolina, and there's several other states that have looked at what the impact would has to eliminating or refining or carving out aspects of the CON, and it's detrimental. And it, and you can look at the state of Ohio, and they have, it's been well documented. The three big automakers have looked at it, and there has been just a tremendous amount of work done that shows and supports the erosion of the CON ultimately increases the cost of healthcare. And with that, again, I have to fully support the rulemaking committee and what they came away with. We spent a lot of time and a lot of effort, and no, we didn't all weren't all on the same page, but we came away with a consensus that the CON process is a good process. The language needs to be refined. However, we can't have these carve-outs, the 60,000 population, the 50-50 for imaging. That just further erodes the process.
I thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the last sentence again, Madam?
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Basically, I'm just saying that the negotiated rulemaking committee has came away with a recommendations of refining the language, keeping the CON, and not allowing the 50-50 joint venture carve-out in the CON process. What we came away with was saying that currently in the regulations, the way it's written, it basically allows for if you're 100% physician-owned, then we allow imaging equipment in your facility. But if you do a 50-50 joint venture, that totally changes the intent of the CON by allowing that carve-out, and it just further erodes the whole CON process. Because the next step, in my opinion, the next step would be looking at ambulatory surgery centers and saying, okay, why can't we allow a 50-50 joint venture in that? And again, all that does is it escalates the cost of healthcare. And again, it's just well documented in the studies that are have been done out there.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That's correct. It'd just be bits and pieces taken, and the courts will settle some of it. So I think probably a study is a reasonable way to approach it. And a question for you, the committee that you were on, I'm sure they gathered and reviewed these other studies, did they? Was that part of the process?
I think there was some mention to them. I think at that time, maybe not everybody was fully aware of some of the studies that have actually taken place. I'm working on an MBA, and I actually had done a paper on CON back in the summertime, so I guess I'm just a little bit more aware of some of the studies and information that was available out there.
Well, maybe you'll be a resource to that.
Maybe. I won't say I'm an expert there.
Thank you.
Senator Elton?
In fact, Madam Chair, it would be helpful, I think, if you're comfortable doing this, sharing your research paper with us. I mean, only if you're comfortable doing it.
No, absolutely.
This bill has a ways to go, and that might
be
helpful.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your
Thank
testimony.
You. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone in the audience that want to testify to 245? Is there anybody online or off net that's listening? You're none. Senator Cowdery?
You know, I ask the definition.
Yeah, that's, I'm sorry, I didn't get back there to you on that, but what we have in.
But is that in statute? Or is,
it is.
It's in this bill, right?
It's in this bill, saying what it is, yes.
If this bill.
Commissioner, could you come forward and say, tell me if we have that in statute other than what we have on our bill about SS critical? I thought we did have a definition and got it from legal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the
yes,
record, Carlene Jackson, Commissioner for Health and Social Services, and yes, through the chair, Senator Cowdery, we do in fact have in this bill on page 4 the references.
He has it. He wanted to know if it's in if statute it other than this.
I believe.
If this bill doesn't pass, then we don't have it in statute.
See, on here, this is new language that we're adding to this particular bill.
But I believe this is just referencing another statute where you will already find the
definition. It does say that. It says AS 18.05. Yes, it does.
Yes.
So it's in statute.
And
you may continue. Well,
if is a critical access hospital in your mind, is it open 24/7?
What I can do is read you the definition of what a critical access hospital is. What it is a small rural hospital that's financially challenged given the limited population size that they serve. These are hospitals located in a county, borough, considered rural, located more than 35-mile drive from another facility, or is a necessary provider of health care services to residents in the area, and has no more than 25 patient beds. So this is actually a federal definition of critical access hospitals. Yes.
But it's not, we don't know if it's open 24/7.
It's a hospital that probably would be open 24/7.
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, that would be my understanding, yes. And if that's not correct, we can give you that information.
Yes, Senator Cowdery? You have your end?
No, I'm better.
Oh, you? I'm sorry, Senator. I said Cowdery, but I meant you. Okay. Dyson. Senator Dyson, you have the floor.
I have several questions. Commissioner, is the administration in favor of all the changes made in this CS?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, the governor still would like to see the repeal of the Certificate of Need program. There are, however, some pieces of this legislation that I believe get us closer to a better program if we wind up keeping a program. And so should this bill pass, I would have that conversation with the governor about what the positive things might be. There are a couple things that if this bill moves forward in the next committee, we would likely ask for small tweaks to it, particularly things regarding the information office, a couple other little pieces like that.
Yeah, if I may continue,
yes, ma'am.
I would suggest that given where we're at in the schedule and does this thing go to finance?
It does.
There's 100 bills stacked up in finance, and so I would think that if there's things that need to be changed here, that we ought to entertain them here. Can you point out where they are specifically?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, certainly. Madam Chair, with your permission, On page 5 of the bill, on line 29, one of the members of the committee is the Alaska Commission on Aging. In talking with Jeff Jesse, the CEO of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, they would prefer that the Trust Authority have a membership seat on this commission, and the Commission on Aging is represented, in fact, by the Mental Health Trust Authority. So that would be one recommendation that we would make.
All right, just a second there. So this bill, committee substitute, says three public members who are health care providers appointed by the governor for hospitals, physicians, and mental health. That's another part of the, as I understand it.
And through the chair, Senator Dyson, that would be number 5. The piece that I was referring to is number 3 on page 5.
Yeah, I understand that. So I was wondering if you and the governor's concern was met by the paragraph 5. If you and the governor's concern or your concern was met by the subparagraph 5 on page 6, line 5.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, it could be. What I was getting at is just that if we're going to have one of the sub-boards of the Mental Health Trust represented and not the others, then that's somewhat difficult. And so the Mental Health Trust Authority, if there's to be this one member on number 3, could fill that seat. But if you wanted to eliminate that member and have the mental health seat cover that, that would certainly be another option.
Yeah, it certainly isn't what I want. So what's the other one that you all are uncomfortable about in the CS?
Other pieces, if I might continue, that I'm concerned about. On page 8, line 18, where we deal with the database, we say that it's developed under A of this section and that it must include the following. And what would be more useful, we would think, in the process of setting up this database would be to have that say may rather than must, so that as we're bringing the database up, we're getting the pieces on bit by bit, and we don't get caught in the database is up, but it doesn't have every single component on here.
If I may, Madam Chair, if we inserted the phrase must as available, would that satisfy you all?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, yes.
All right.
Would you repeat again what you said you wanted to have in there?
Madam Chair, either may rather than must, or the suggestion that Senator Dyson had would be as the information is available. So the database developed under this section must include, as the information is available, the following.
And Senator Elton, did you have your hand up on that also?
Well, no. I think that works, and it is certainly safer. I mean, if we just do a simple may,
right.
it for time immemorial, it may not be a final database.
Okay.
And if I may,
is there something else?
Are there other ones you are concerned about, Commissioner?
Yes, there are a couple, if I may, Madam Chair.
You may continue.
On page 9, number 3 and number 4, what we have here is a list of the 100 most commonly prescribed medications and a list of the 100 most commonly conducted medical procedures. The suggestion from our chief medical officer was to instead say a list of at least 25 for each of those, so that we again don't set something up that's bigger than we can do, and we can get it up and running, and we can certainly add more if we have an at least number rather than a strict number.
Okay.
Well, Madam.
Yes.
I mean, my concern is we've already said that as data becomes available. I mean, so I don't see the need to dropping the number from 100 to 25. If 100 aren't available, they can keep working on it and put the 25 up. So.
Yeah, and I would have been open to cutting the baby in half at 50 or something, but yeah, I think Senator Elton is correct. The next one you're uneasy about?
through the chair, on page 11, we have looked at line 28 and 29 and realized there are not definitions there for a licensed pharmacy or for a physician's office. And so we would like to see definitions there. Again, in the interest of time, it might be difficult to get those plugged in today. I didn't come prepared for that, so apologize for that. And then my final concern on page 13, and this may just be the...
Can we... Wait, just...
Yes, sorry.
I mean, I guess, you don't have something that defines a physician's office? I mean, I thought that was one of the elements in the Certificate of Need program that we have now, is what is a physician's office. And I'm hearing now that we don't have a definition for it.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, that's been one of the things that was wrestled with. We do have various definitions, but I don't have it here with me today in the material that I brought.
If I may, if we had a conceptual amendment here that said, you know, the best synthesis of, or some darn thing here so that you could get that together, you know, could you?
I don't understand how we're going to do a conceptual amendment and they don't have the language that they said they have and didn't bring with them. And I'm having some other concerns also in the sense that we're getting all these concerns that you have. And I had this bill sitting out for several weeks just to get all the information, and the department has not come forward and told me that they had any things that they wanted to add to this particular piece of legislation we're looking at now.
Madam
and
Chair.
Some of them are very minor,
right?
But
yes.
We could have had that taken care of before we came here. So, but if I have to go back, I'll just do another CS and have that added in if we agree that's what we want to do.
And Madam Chair, that's why I started by saying that these were small things that could be done in the next committee and be ready to roll out.
Yes, I heard you
committee.
Say that.
Yeah.
And I pretty much agree with you on that, if that's... Yeah.
What was the, if I may, what was the one on page 13?
The final thing on page 13, through the chair, Senator Dyson, and this may be my misunderstanding of how timelines are drafted in bills, but I'm confused by the fact that we have section 14 that says, except as provided in Section 12, this act takes effect July 1, 2008. Then Section 12 says Section 2 of the act takes effect July 2013. And so it may, again, just be my misunderstanding of how timelines are drafted in legislation, but that seems to me like a circular confusion.
The 2013 is the date that the commission would go away, that date. It's 5 years. That's what that date is. And the rest of it, just what it says down here, would be affected as of July the 1st.
And again, Madam Chair, it may just be my misunderstanding, but where Section 14 refers to Section 12 that refers to Section 2 and they have different dates, I just raise that as a potential problem, and it may not be.
I think the legal person could explain it better than I just did, but I think it's the way it should be. Because she did go over and say that why that date is there is because of the sunset of the bill for the commission.
Great. Then I've done my duty to raise it, and
yeah.
I rest with that.
Yeah. You have a question, Senator Dyson, or more comments?
I have more questions, but
okay.
I'm not sure the commissioner is. Who was primarily the author of the committee substitute?
Who was my committee? You mean the extension that put the study in?
No.
We agreed that we would do the study, and I went back and I had it implemented into the bill.
No, that's not what I asked.
So what were you saying then?
I said who put together the committee substitute?
My office.
Okay. So who in your office should I address questions to?
Which question are we talking about? It depends on, I can have Don come down, but I don't know what you're referring to, because I've had various people working on the bill. Some Tom did, my staffer, some Don has done. If you would point out what you're talking about, maybe we could go back to that. And do we have the draft online? And Don, maybe you might need to go and see if you can get her online, because I might need some help from Jean Michelle if I can get it. You
right.
Can ask the question while we continue.
On page 7, line 15, the bill that we got said that one of the goals of the commission was to reduce health care for all to below the national average, and the committee substitute takes that out, and I just like some explanation of why.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to look toward the audience, but I seem to remember what seems like eons ago that there was a discussion by the department that that goal may be unattainable and that the better language would be to reduce the rate of growth. And am I remembering correctly?
That is correct, through the chair.
And you do have all the amendments that was made to this version that you went over with us at the last meeting. Do you have that in front of you? Because there were some things that was asked to be deleted at that time, and if it's not there, it's because you asked for it to be deleted. The only thing that I have added to that was, you know, when I gave you the bill, I had it where the commission would do this study. And then I decided that after the discussion from all of you that it wasn't going to work, and I just assigned it to the department. And that's the only other change that was not discussed when he went through that. Okay, thanks.
And if I may, Senator, yes. To answer your question and to kind of piggyback off of Senator Elton, the clarification and change of that particular section happened, I believe, in version E, which was probably about a month and a half ago when we cleared up some of those issues that were brought forth and corrected. So this was not even this, that was taken care of at least three versions ago.
Yeah, and I may have missed one of those, and that might be a reasonable change. On page 8, line 11, the CS, the original version, we was talking about the database here, and originally it says for all, cover all, for all facilities, and the CS inserts, takes those for all out and inserts about.
You said page 8, line 11?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yep.
I'll exit up the... What's your concern?
I'm just wondering why we took out the phrase for all and put in the expression or the word about. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong version here.
I see. Through the chair, I do not have those changes, but again, just kind of going off of recollection, that was, again, one of the changes that was made about the when we did some very fine-tuning of some of the language, that was about three versions ago when we went through and took very specific words and changed them to be a little bit more generic, if you will, in this bill. And again, that was about three versions ago. I believe it was version E.
And I continue to say that there's nothing changed in this one that, except for what I stated, have been changed. All the other changes had been made prior to me taking this bill back to put the last section in there. We didn't tamper with any other language. We left it just the way it was. And I don't know which one that would have been, because we've gone all the way to, and we had at least four other different bills before us. But that one bill, we went through section by section and just went through and corrected what we wanted to go in there. Then we drew this up and brought it back to you. And at the time when I brought it back to you 2 weeks ago, it had that one change in there, was to have the study to be done by the commission. And after the discussion here, based upon what you were saying, I decided to make it to the department to contract with someone, but nothing else has been changed.
All right. Well, I may be asking questions about a version that was approved by the committee before. But does anybody remember discussion about taking out the phrase "for all" and substituting "about" in this section?
Madam Chair.
Even if we did, do you have a problem with the "for all"?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I don't recall, but I mean, I guess in response, I don't think it's a substantive change. This says maintain an information database on the internet of information about healthcare facilities in the state, and then there are no exceptions to healthcare facilities. And so I read that as the same as for all healthcare facilities.
Yeah.
And so I suspect that could have been something the drafter may have caught.
And if I may respond, I suspect the same thing. I'd like it to be on the record that we do intend that it is for all of the facilities, and that is the intention of the committee.
I would have some concern when you say all the facilities, because we really don't know all the facilities that's out there. And to say for all, I think we'll open it wide open, but maybe Jean Michelle, if she's on the line, maybe she could speak to that.
Senator Davis, this is Jean Michelle.
Yes.
I'm at a loss because I just dialed in and I don't know what section we're on.
We're on version B of 245. And there was some changes. I'll let Senator Dyson state this place and the change that's there.
Yeah. Hi, Gene. It's page 8, line 11. In the previous version or versions, as I remember, it read database of the internet on the internet of information for all healthcare facilities in the state. And now it's the words "for all" have been taken out and "about" has been substituted.
Okay. Senator Dyson, through the chair, I would have to pull my hard file, but I believe that was a specific request to change that wording based on a concern that Senator Davis just expressed.
All right. And then either for you or for Don, it's not clear to us that the bill calls for a lot of reports, and then it calls for the state to establish a database, and then that there's going to be a website. And I'm not clear that the stuff from the reports gets into the database and then that the database is placed on the website. Our reading of it is that that's not clear. And what I think the administration and certainly my office was interested in is that the information be available to the public so that they can make the best informed decisions. Can you help me?
I'm interpreting your question to be whether or not that database is publicly available. Is that the question?
Yeah, it's really three levels. Does the stuff from the reports is required to end up in the database as opposed to a file drawer or even an electronic file? And then is the stuff in the database available via the website?
I don't see any confidentiality requirements that would keep any information on a database from public access under the public records law. Unless it's specified that it wouldn't be available, it appears to me to be intentionally publicly available under the mandatory reporting section, which is news section 1809.120, it does talk about on pages lines 9 and 10 that the information being reported shall be placed on the database. So I have the same answer for that information.
All right, and then is it clear here in the CS that the stuff is in the database, goes on to the website?
Yes.
Can you point me to that?
Yeah, the lead in on page 8, the department shall establish and maintain an information database on the internet. And then the cross-reference in 1809-120 to this section.
It's on page 10.
For placement in the database developed under 1809-110. Line 10 there, page 10.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that satisfies me on that one. Give me another minute here to. Okay, this is, I'm not arguing with the version here, but on page 10, line 14. It was certainly my intention in putting this, suggesting this information here that where it says negotiated, the prices would be for all the services that are rendered. It's not clear here what prices mean, and so we wanted that be explicit so that a customer who's shopping by price can not only see what the comparative prices for the same services are, but also the comparative prices that various classes of consumers pay. So
where was that at, located?
Page 10, line 14.
Senator Dyson, through the chair, that language has been changed over time, I believe, from the L version.
It has.
Yeah.
But it certainly could be clarified through an amendment by the committee.
All right. Thank you.
Was there any other questions of Michelle while we have her on the phone?
I may have another one here if you could go to somebody else.
Yes, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If we were to put language in the study on the certificate of need, would you suggest that amendment be made simply on page 13, line 11, and running on to the next couple of lines or something, if in fact we did put in a time frame for the study to be completed and delivered to the legislature?
Senator Thomas, through the chair. Excuse me, yes.
Yes.
Answer yes?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I have another question, and maybe this is for you, Michelle. Page 10, line 8 and 9 says the mandatory reporting schedule will be set by the department, and that appears to contradict what it says on page 7, line 23, that says the commission establishes the schedule. Am I confused?
Dyson, I doubt that you're confused. Let me just review this language for one Second. I'm looking at an electronic version, so it's slow. It may just have another minute. The reference to the, I think there is a conflict with regard to the reporting requirement, but not the database.
The reporting schedule seems to me to be a conflict there.
I agree.
All right. So that probably needs to be fixed. Page 11, line 6 and following, the CS seems to say the information shall be provided to the department. And originally, the governor's bill had said it should go to the commission. Did we make that switch in this committee? I don't remember that.
Well, if you're looking at version A and it said that, that means at some point we changed it. So it didn't automatically just happen. We had to ask for a change in it.
Yeah.
I have A in front of me. Apparently, you're looking off of A, and that might have been there. But we've had five or six different CSs since then.
And I'm not really interested in the etymology. Is that what it's called? The origins. But I am interested in what's best.
So am I. I'm trying to see where you're headed. And we got the people out there that could speak to that. I don't want to say which one is best.
So, Commissioner, which makes the most sense?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I'm afraid I was lost on the page you were on, so if you could help me orient, that would be great.
Yeah. Page 11, line 6 and following.
Okay.
The CS says the information shall be provided to the department. And in the original version, it said it went to the commission. I sure don't care, but I just wanted to know if that was in your original version. Do you all object to this?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, it would seem like having the information come to the department for the department to put on the database is probably the most efficient. If it goes from the department, if it goes from the commission to the department to the database, there might be an extra step. So perhaps that's why we made that change, but I don't remember back that far.
All right, so neither do I, but you like what the CS says on that and how it's handled it.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I believe so, yes.
Very good. All right, I think that's all the questions that I know that I have.
Okay. Just a minute, Commissioner.
She keeps trying to slip out of there.
Senator Thomas has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You know I'm interested in this time frame for a study. You had indicated, or in a letter, I believe, to the chairman of the committee, a reference to a couple of studies that had been done, and I was curious as to the time frame of those, if you knew off the top of your head what they generally were and if they were as complex and critical as this study might be to undertake, thereby giving me some direction as to January of 09 or January of 10 requiring the study be back.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, each study was somewhat unique, although I would expect that this study, because there's already been so much source material gathered through the process of the various hearings, should be fairly quick. So depending on the effective date, assuming that the bill passes and we're able to get an RFP out on the street and have the funding to begin the study, begin paying for the study July 1st, I would anticipate that we probably could have it for the next legislative session for 09.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So let's get back to the bill before us. Are there other concerns? I think you might be leading to an amendment to the...
I'm not going to hold your business up here today.
if it's got to be done, it has to be done. I know it has another referral to go to, but if it's something substantial that we need to deal with, we need to deal with it in this committee. So don't feel that you can't make your amendment if you want to. But I do say this, when we get through it, I hope that we go through everything here so that we have an understanding that we have already accepted everything but the changes that is going to be made that you give me today. Because I can continue to bring this back and we could continue to have new CSs and not get this out of the committee at all.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
So if you want to put an amendment on the floor, you can do that.
Yep.
Just a minute.
I would, thank you, Madam Chairman. I would make an amendment to the language on page 13, line 12. Or line 11, I'm sorry. Just adding at the taking the period off the end of the word legislature no later than February 15th,
2009. Okay. Are you putting that in a form of a motion to us?
Yes, I would make that motion.
Anybody second that? Anybody object to that addition? I hear no objection. It can be added in. It will be added in. Senator Dyson?
Yeah. I think that Michelle agreed with me that the conflict here within the CS that says who sets the schedule and there's a conflict between page 10, line 8 and 9, and page 7, line 23. And I think that's a policy call. And we need to pick one of those and make it consistent.
Okay, I'm willing to do that. I just need to look at line 23 on 7. Anyone else have any? You said line 7 on 20?
Page 7?
23.
Yeah.
Page 7, line 23?
Yeah, it says the commission sets the schedule. And on page 10, it says the department sets a schedule. So we just need to decide which is the better, and I don't care.
It says this, the commission shall review and approve health care information for placement on the database. And what does the other one say? On page 10?
Yeah, lines 8 and 9.
Line 9?
8 and 9.
Line 8. I'm trying to see, so beginning July 2009, shall provide to the department.
Madam Chair.
So it goes on to say, based on a schedule set by the department. Where the page 7 says, set by the commission.
Yeah, do you have a point to that, Sandel?
Well, and especially if Gene is listening, but the way I read what looks on the face of it to be conflicting, I see this as a two-step process, and that the language on page 10 says the department, based on a schedule set by the department, that the healthcare facility shall provide to the department based on a schedule set by the department. And then the language on page, which is the information gathering process, and that the language on page 7 is about the posting process, and that the commission shall review and approve the healthcare information that was collected by the department and establish a schedule for the department to then post the information. So I see step one being on page 10, where the department collects the information and sets a schedule by which the healthcare facilities have to provide that information. And then on page 7, the second step being the commission reviews the information that was collected under the provisions on page 10. And then gives it back to the department with a schedule for when the department has to put it on the database. And if Jean was listening, she could see if my interpretation is any place close to reality.
Are you still there?
Senator Davis, yes.
Yes.
Senator Allen, through the chair, I think that is one possible interpretation here. The implementation, the use of the word implementation is ambiguous on line 24. So that's why I said it could be interpreted to be in conflict with the schedule set. But in thinking back, I believe that was the original intent, that the department would set a reporting schedule for the healthcare facilities, and the commission would review the information and then actually put the database up. But I think it's ambiguous.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Jean, is it less ambiguous if on back to page 7, line 24, if we struck implementation and said, and establish a schedule for posting to the database? Or posting on the database?
Yes.
Yes, that's better, you say?
Yes, it's clear. There's no overlap in that.
Okay.
If you say it that way.
Madam Chair, I would propose an amendment.
Yeah.
Then that on page 7, line 24,
yes,
we strike implementation.
Right.
And we strike implementation of and substitute posting on.
Okay. How everybody feel about that? That will be a change that will be made.
And Madam Chair?
Yes?
On page 8, line 18, I would move that we include as an amendment the phrase, as available. Available after the word include and before the word the, so the subparagraph A would read, of this section must include as available the following.
Must or may?
Must, as available. Must include as available. Or maybe it's better English to put it after the following and before the colon.
Would you repeat what you want to happen again?
Yeah.
Because I'm not following.
The database, on this line 18, page 8. The database developed under A of this section must include, as available, the following.
Oh, as available. Okay.
Or it could be after the following, he said, too.
Okay. All right. I got you.
And then, if I may, on page 8, line 11, the end of the line, instead of about, substitute for all.
So you're picking up on the information about, you want to say information?
Yeah, database on the internet of information for all health care facilities in the state.
I have some concern about that saying all, but if the committee feels that that's what they want to go with, I don't have a problem with it. Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't have a problem with it, and I'm assuming you wanted that same change on line 6 where it says information about. Again, it uses that same term on line 6, information for all.
Yeah, and maybe just parenthetically here, we could ask the commissioner, are there things that would fall into health care that are not licensed and the state doesn't even know about, mm-hmm, that that would make that a bad choice?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, that would be my one concern. As fast as the industry is changing, and that was part of the concern with defining pharmacies, licensed pharmacies, for example, is a licensed pharmacy in a bigger variety store a licensed pharmacy for the purposes of this information gathering, that kind of thing. So I do get nervous that when we pin it down to we must do for all, we could wind up with a situation where something's out there that we don't know about until we discover we didn't put the information out.
And if I respond, I want the information about where the pharmacies are, and I assume that all the pharmacies are licensed. So that one doesn't bother me. What I worry about is something that doesn't fall under any supervision. Maybe it's a faith-related thing that says we do faith healing here, you know, and or get your health fixed by coming here and praying more, you know, that somehow or the other that they'd get caught up in this. But it seems to me that anything that's important enough to be licensed, you know, and fall under public health or something, we do want to know about. And I don't know, is there anything out there that you all oversee in your various functions that we don't need to include?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, again, I probably used a poor example, but I do worry when we get so specific that we're talking about for all, that there could be some kind of a problem that we're inadvertently setting up when our intention is to try to get all the information we can.
And if we said for all licensed, does that get everybody we want to have reporting?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I think the language that had about made me more comfortable than the for all health facilities.
I withdraw my amendment.
All right. Do you want to say something?
Not if the amendment is withdrawn.
Okay. All right. He withdrew it. Okay. What else?
Can we take a brief at ease?
Oh, well, can we have an ease? Sure, we can. Just a couple minutes. All right. We are back on schedule here. And I'm looking for any other comments on the CS in front of you, proposed amendments.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, I would hope. That's what I bring it back the next time. Is that it?
You and Senator Stedman have a lot in common.
We do? I don't know if that's good or bad.
And I'm telling that you said that. Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Elton.
Maybe to preclude anybody else from speaking to the bill or a portion of the bill, I would move committee substitute for Senate Bill 245 as amended version /V with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Any objections?
Object.
You object? You do object? Okay. Does it mean we have to call the roll?
It does.
It does.
All right.
Senator Cowdery?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
Yes.
Senator Thomas?
Yes.
Senator Davis?
Yes.
Four yeas, one nay.
Thank you. If there's nothing else to come before us, this meeting is adjourned. At a quarter off.